Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Happy to be here with a young old friend, as I like to call him, Dr. Michael Swerk. He's a thoracic surgeon at Independence Health System. And a note came across my desk last week about some excellent, distinguished news from the Society for Thoracic Surgeons. And it's about patient care and lung cancer resection outcomes. And it's wonderful news, a 3-star rating. This is the highest category of quality among the elite for general thoracic surgery in the United States and Canada. So, first, I want to say congratulations, Dr. Swerk.
Well, Jen, it's great to be with you. As always, you do so much for the community. Thank you very much for the opportunity. We're excited. We really are. It's something that we never thought we'd achieve here at La Trobe and Independence Health Thoracic Program. We have a team of about 20 providers, and really couldn't be more proud of our team for the dedication of patient care and this outcome and this honor. It's really truly remarkable.
It really is. So let's start by talking about the team because, really, you're not necessarily the first person that someone with lung cancer would see, right? I mean, this could start with a cough, with a primary care physician, with a test. Can you talk about the team?
Well, I think that what's changing in healthcare, and it's changing rapidly, is that, we know screening makes a difference. Breast cancer, getting a mammogram makes a difference. In colon cancer, which we're seeing in younger and younger people, colonoscopies make a difference. But now in lung cancer screening makes a huge difference. And really, that's the focus of what we do here at Independence Health. We are on a mission. On a mission to find lung cancer in at-risk individuals at its very, very earliest stage, at the stages where you can cure it. And so, how are we doing that? Well, 2016, we started lung cancer screening here. And in the first month, January of 2016, it was a snowy January, we screened two people. And today, I can tell you that now we've screened over 8,000 people and done over 25,000 CAT scans looking for lung cancer in Westmoreland County, Allegheny County, Fayette County, Indiana County, and even beyond those reaches. So the real trick here now is to find it early and then attack. And that's changing the paradigm of lung cancer. It's changing the chance of dying from it. And so our team manages that whole program. We have people coming in. We saw over 8,000 people in our office last year coming in, being evaluated, looking at scans, making recommendations, doing biopsies when they're necessary, doing surgery when it's necessary, and then taking care of them. And it's really been a wonderful thing. And when I came to Independence Health in 2014, I was recruited by a very special person. And that person really made the difference. It's been the most remarkable 10 years of my career. It's really changed what I do, how I think as a physician. And we have just really the best team around in Western Pennsylvania. And I humbly say that.
Oh, it is. It's just fantastic news. I was so happy to hear the news with this. And I do understand the importance and the need to screen people. There are some criteria first. I want to start with that. Some criteria for being screened for that CT scan. Is that right?
Yeah, and the criteria changed. They changed when we started. They're different now, and they're going to change again in the next couple of years. But right now, who do we want to screen? We want to screen, number one, people that have smoked. And so the criteria say if you've smoked, current smoker or former smoker within the past 15 years, go get a CAT scan. And there's an age cutoff too. So, and that's gotten generous because it used to be 55 and older. Now it's 50 up to 80. And I think that number is going to change again. I think it's probably going to go down to 45. And even with those criteria, we're still missing people worldwide. We're missing young women in their 40s, never smokers, especially in the Asian community. We're missing African American people where lung cancer starts earlier. And so that'll change again. The other thing that I think is important, and this may fall out of the lines of criteria, but if you are a smoker and you're in your 40s, and you have a brother who had lung cancer, or a sister, or a mother, or a father, we have another program where we, for under $200, can do screening for people that the insurance won't cover. For most of people in those criteria, and your insurance will cover this. But if you're outside of those criteria and you're concerned, come see us because we'll work out a plan for you.
And this is not an invasive test, right? I mean, this is a CT.
It is about as quick as they come. You don't have to take your clothes off. You don't need an IV. Nobody sticks you for blood. The CAT scan takes less than a minute. We have five different sites in Westmoreland County that screen. So parking is easy. There's no pay to park. And you can come in and out. And our promise is within 48 hours, you're getting a report as to what's on that scan. So the scary part of screening is the anxiety of, oh my God, if I go in there and they find something, my life changes. And then once you walk out of there, you're worried, what is it going to show? So we try to eliminate that. And that's how we started the program. We said, we're going to call you and you're going to get a personal phone call. And if there's a problem, we're going to get you in quickly. And the chance of having a problem on that initial CAT scan is low. It's 2%. So you have a 98% chance of having a clean CAT scan. And for those 2%, we'll get you in fast and we'll communicate with you so you don't have anxiety. Listen, healthcare produces anxiety. And we try to do what we do here, which I think is special, personal communication, answer questions, follow up on details. And that's our team. And I think that's where the 3-star rating really comes to when it's really said and done. It's providing that kind of service for the community. It's the service you want as a patient, and we feel obligated to provide that as a provider.
You've worked in different areas of the state, trained in different states. Do you see any correlation between sort of the steel industry, the coal industry here in Western Pennsylvania with a higher instance of lung cancer, or do you think it's pretty much the same throughout Pennsylvania and the United States? Like, are you in a hot pocket?
Well, I think we are, and we have data to support that. So if you look at national incidence rates of lung cancer, it's about 1.5% in screening programs. So our number's running 4%, and it's been 3.5 to 4% since we've been here. And so why? Well, drive around through some of the towns, glass factories that are no longer in business. Those people, when they worked in glass factories and you talk to them, even if they were never smokers, they said it was smoky, it was dusty, there were no masks, and all day long you were just breathing in bad particles. And we know that the environment plays an important role in lung cancer. There's no question. And Western Pennsylvania was really the capital of industry for so many years. So you had so many people who smoked and worked in places where they had exposure to smoke and dust. And that's the recipe. That's the recipe. And there's probably a genetic component, which we still don't have a good handle on. Today, what the problem is going to be going forward is vaping and the hazardous effects of marijuana and vaping in a younger generation. So this is really not a talk just for people that are octogenarians or in their sixth or seventh decade of life. This is for everybody because the patterns will change. And we see that. We operate on kids in their 20s that do a lot of vaping and a lot of marijuana consumption, and their lungs are jet black at that age, jet black, and it looks like tar. And nobody talks about it, but it's really something that we have a message. We go out to schools, we go out to middle schools and talk about vaping. We have a really nice program, and we really want people to understand what they're doing. We're not there to judge, we're there to help. And show kids what's going on. I had a kid once raise his hand, 800 kids in a middle school, and he said, "Is it harmful if my parents are vaping when they're taking me home from school in the car?" So you can imagine this kid sitting in the back seat, and the cloud of smoke is covering this poor kid, and he's in the fifth grade or so. It's terrible. And we got to educate the community. It's our job, it's our purpose. And we have a great group of people that do that, and that are willing to go out and give talks, willing to talk to people here. So it's an exciting and an important thing.
I mean, that's amazing about the vaping, and that's not something that you and I saw when we were growing up. We saw a lot of cigarette smokers, but we didn't see these sort of tobacco devices, these inhalant devices like we see now, and they're just
No.
everywhere. And I know you've really been on a mission to educate people about that. The number of talks you've done is tremendous, and people need to know about that. And it sounds like it's happening fast. If kids in their 20s are having problems with their lungs, I mean, that's less than a decade of vaping.
Sure. And not that they're all getting cancers, let's be clear, but they're getting other lung diseases that are asthma, early emphysema. And the problem is the addictive nature of those things is far worse than the cigarettes of the 70s. The amount of nicotine in there is higher. And the secondary effects of, I was just reading about this in the Wall Street Journal this morning. And in Colorado, that these the legalization of marijuana really harmed communities and brought in people coming to emergency rooms with lots of illnesses that they didn't anticipate. But you know, more about what we're doing here is really trying to keep the community healthy. And the second piece of this is if you, God forbid, have lung cancer, our technology has evolved to the point where you can come in on a Monday, have surgery, be discharged on a Tuesday, and I'll tell you, you can drive. And I'll tell you can do your activities of daily living. It's no longer staying in a hospital in an ICU for a week with severe pain and major morbidity. The technology with using robots in surgery has revolutionized everything, and it's just going to get better and better and better. So don't fear the process, because if you've ever seen someone die from the advanced lung cancer illness related problems of not being able to breathe, pain, you never want to go through that. And so that's really where screening makes a difference. It can change your life. And
So with the STS designation with 3 stars, I mean, that's not an easy thing to get. I'm imagining there's a number of quality measures. Do you want to dive into that a little bit and talk about the quality measures that they look at to get that kind of rating?
well, what they and the STS is the biggest repository of medical data in the world, and it's been collecting data on heart surgery for adults, for children, and lung surgery for decades. And a lot of decisions by Medicare are made based on the data. So again, what they want to do is make surgery safe. So they analyze everything we do. Every patient that comes in here leaves with a data set of everything that happened to them, whether they needed a blood transfusion, whether they got readmitted to the hospital, whether they died from the procedure, whether they had any list of complications. And so that's how it's parsed. It's really parsed by how do you, what is your outcome? So outcome's a function of judgment too. Who do you operate on? You know, so you have to think through the comorbidities of patients to make it safe and then offer the procedure. And so the STS 3-star rating means that your data shows that your outcomes are better than anticipated for the data set. And so a 2-star rating, which is a great rating, says your outcomes are on par with what they should be for what you did. A 3-star rating, and we're the only program currently in the state of Pennsylvania with one, says your outcomes are better than should be anticipated. It's really hard to achieve. I still can't believe that our team got that. And really what we want people to understand is we're here for them. We're here as an option for them. And we'd love to have you and take care of you, God forbid you need us. And so we're very thankful for that. And we're thankful for our institution that made it possible to have the resources to make it possible. This is not a one-person effort. Our team is huge. And I wish I could show you a picture of our team. I'm really proud of them. And these are passionate people about what we do. So it's exciting, and we're very thankful and humbled by it.
Wonderful. Dr. Michael Zwirk is a thoracic surgeon at Independence Health System. He and his team just received a 3-star rating from the Society of Thoracic Surgeons for patient care and lung cancer resection outcomes. That is the highest category of quality among the elite for general thoracic surgery in the United States and Canada. We're so proud of them. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about Dr. Swork's background, his training, and why he decided to get into this line of work. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I think that was the fastest 15 minutes I've ever spent on a show because Dr. Zwirk is so engaging and so passionate about the work he's doing for thoracic surgery and recently received a distinguished 3-star rating from the Society of Thoracic Surgeons for Patient Care and Lung Cancer Resection Outcomes. And for those of you who don't know about STS and this kind of rating, it denotes the highest category of quality among the elite for general thoracic surgery in both the United States and Canada. I mean, only one in Pennsylvania to get this kind of 3-star rating, which is fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us where you grew up, your education and your training.
Well, I'm not from Pennsylvania, but I've lived here long enough that I think it is my home. I grew up in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, and really had a wonderful life. Went to medical school and college in St. Louis, Missouri at Washington University in St. Louis. And at WashU, actually, WashU was the first place in the United States to take out a whole lung. And it was its claim to fame was they did that operation. And so I saw some of the early pioneers of thoracic surgery at WashU, from cardiac surgery, heart surgery, to congenital heart surgery, to lung surgery. And, you know, these were the biggest names in the country at the time. And so as a student, you know, watching them, seeing how they did things. And at the time, everything was done big incisions, real, real invasive stuff. And it was so exciting to see some human anatomy like that, the heart, the lungs, and what they could do. And then I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and did my training. And back then, to be a thoracic surgeon, you had to do general surgery. So I did a general surgery residency program. And at that point, there were five of us that were categorical general surgery residents. So it means we have a 5-year commitment. Four of us went into thoracic surgery because of the people at Chapel Hill. Exceptional, exceptional mentors. And really, life's about mentorship, who you meet, how they influence you. And that's in healthcare, the same thing. I give talks to pre-med students, PA students. And I had a discussion with a PA student from Virginia Tech last night at a volleyball game and talking about how you choose what you decide to go into as a physician assistant. But it's really your mentors. And so we bring people in here at La Trobe all the time. Any kids that want to come watch and observe, whether you want to be a nurse, a physician assistant, or a physician, you know, we want to show you the passion of what we do. And that's kind of what I saw early on. Great mentors, and then did my training in Pittsburgh at Allegheny General. At the time, Allegheny General was really the leader of heart surgery in the country and thoracic surgery. They had unbelievable research labs. They had unbelievable clinical physicians. And to do this, you have to be safe. And to be safe, you need to have a lot of experience. And I couldn't think of a place to get more experience at the time than going through the Pittsburgh training. So, you know, it's really important. I have a great partner, Dr. Brian Lace. Dr. Lace is another, he trained at the University of Pittsburgh in thoracic surgery. He's from La Trobe, exceptional guy. He's been with us for 5 years, and he's a partner and a friend, and really is helping to build a world-class program here. And in addition, we have four physician assistants and a wonderful nurse practitioner, all of whom are very seasoned. They've been in other places, and now they've been with us for a lot of years. And we're training some new people right now, and we're trying to get the next generation to think the way we believe they should think, and really do it the old-fashioned way.
Well, old fashioned way, you know, when you were talking about watching those sort of old fashioned lung resections and things like that. I mean, so much has changed. And do you want to just take a minute and explain to people about robotic surgery? I mean, you're driving the robot, but this has changed the game in terms of incisions and recoveries and outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely has. And so I started doing robotics in 2010. A gynecological oncologist, which is a cancer surgeon, said, Mike, you need to use a robot. And I looked at him, I said, Marty, and this was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, why do I need this device? It's too expensive. And one night I had an epiphany. I got on YouTube and I watched an operation done in Miami, Florida on an older woman with lung cancer by really the leader in thoracic surgery at the time, a guy named Mark Dulski. And I saw what he did in an hour, unedited, and I was like, that was amazing. I said, I can't do that operation the way I know how to operate, and I have to change. And so I was about the fifth guy in the country to get into robotics and thoracic surgery. And back then, there were no simulators, there was no training program, and I had to come in early in the morning at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and practice on the robot and before the cases started. And I was fortunate that I had an institution to believe in the mission to do this and never look back. Today, if you're training in thoracic surgery, you will use the robot. And it's not just thoracic surgery, it's general surgery, it's urology, it's gynecology, it's everything. And so the robot is just a tool, but what it allows us to do is old-fashioned open surgery through tiny incisions with the same efficacy. And much better recovery with shorter hospitalizations, much less pain, and equivalent, and maybe sometimes better cancer outcomes. And so you say, how can you do this minimally invasively and have better outcomes? Are you a charlatan? And no, it's not that. It's because we're not damaging the immune system. Through big incisions, your immune system is fighting cancer all the time. And when you harm the immune system, you're hurting your ability to fight. And that's what minimally invasive surgery really does. And the other piece is time under anesthesia. The more you do, the more efficient you are, the less you have to keep people under anesthesia. Another effect that's we want to minimize. And so it's all that. And then after surgery, what's changed is how we take care of you. 2 hours after an operation on our team, you're going to be walking in the halls. We shower our patients at night. They think that's crazy. You say, why am I taking a shower? I said, because everybody loves a hot shower. So why can't you have a hot shower? Why do you have to lay in bed like you're in some ward from the 1900s? Get up and move around and get out. And people look at you like you're crazy. And you're like, no, that's how you do it. And that's how you get the outcomes. It's really changing paradigms, and our length of stay, you come in, and this is some of that data, is 2 days or less. I'm sending people home today, this morning, that I operated on yesterday with lung cancer. And people think that's crazy, but back then it was crazy. Today it's not. And tomorrow is really the future. What's it going to mean? I think the technology is going to change so much that we may be able to do this without any incisions. And that may be the real game changer. And I hope I see it in my career.
Dr. Swerk, after you do surgery on a patient with lung cancer, you have good partners in the community if they need follow-up treatment. Is there often chemotherapy or radiation that goes along with the treatments?
Yeah, well, for all cancer, there's basically four ways to treat cancer. Remove it, re use radiation to treat it. Use chemotherapy or use what's targeted agents or what's called immune therapy. So there's combinations of four options. So for lung cancer, we work very carefully with our University of Pittsburgh medical oncologists who are partnered with us. They're personal friends, they're great clinicians. We have a great program. And we decide jointly, hey, what is the best path for this person? Sometimes surgery is all you need. We hope it is, but then sometimes it's not. And if there's four stages of cancer for all cancers, and if you have more advanced lung cancer, you're still curable, but maybe not by one of the paths alone. You need a couple. So we give people immune treatment, which is an intravenous infusion, works wonderful with chemotherapy, and it really has changed our ability to cure advanced lung cancer. That's really the change in the last 5 years, is cancer that was not curable is being cured because of combination chemotherapy, what's called immune therapy, and surgery. So every situation is totally different. And we presented data in at a meeting in Florida looking at our outcomes with that. And our outcome data was exceptional. And we're looking at the survivability of what was once not survivability. And it's still early data, but it's really changing. So all hope is never lost. Come on in and we'll take a look at you. If you hear the terrible news that you have lung cancer, we'd be happy to get an opinion from us and help think through the path.
And how about after surgery? Do they often need therapy, or is that something that sort of that recovery happens at home on your own?
Well, so there's there how do you decide someone needs to go into home health after surgery? We don't want that to happen. Our
Right.
goal is to get you back to your own bed, sleep in your own bed, enjoy your time there. Now, how do we do it? We ask them carefully up front, and we had that discussion. A lot of people that are in their 80s, sometimes they live alone. Sometimes they have stairs, and it's tough. Their daughter lives in Washington, D.C., their son lives in California, they're by themselves in Latrobe. And we have to figure out a path ahead of time. The best thing to do is talk about it ahead of time. And I'll often say, hey, bring your son in for a few days. And I did that for my mother.
Yeah, I mean, this is just it's wonderful to talk that through beforehand so that
You
we
have
can
to
see
do
what the
that, right?
outcome is going to be whenever it's all over. And then I'm assuming that your staff too follows up with these people afterward, and they come in and you're following them for quite a long time afterward.
Well, that and in the short term, what's also our secret sauce, if you want to say, is that if you have surgery by us and we send you home on a Monday, it's not going to be a month for you to get back in here, and you're going to have to talk to a machine. You can come Tuesday, you can come Wednesday, you can come Thursday, you come any day. We'll see you, and we'll take care of you because sometimes there's a fear factor, and you go home, things aren't right. We're not going to say you can't see that doctor for 6 weeks. If we operate on you, we take care of you. And once we get through the early surgical phase, we'll see people with CAT scans for surveillance, checking to make sure nothing comes back at intervals, usually 3, 6 months, and then 12 months. So, yeah, they'll be lifelong patients of ours, absolutely, working with their primary care doctors and their other team to give the very best surveillance that we can give.
And last question I have for you is if you were a smoker, you feel that you're at risk, who should you call? Like, how do you start the screening process?
Well, there's a couple things. One, we have direct phone numbers we can provide. And you can call 724-689-0520, 724-689-0520. That's our office, and say, I want to get information on screening. That's the easiest way.
Easiest way to
And
do it.
we do the whole thing. You don't need a referral from your primary care doc. We will talk to you, find out your eligibility, find out your insurance needs, and guide you through the whole system. And that's probably the simplest way. You can get on websites and look for us at Independence Health for lung cancer screening as well. But just remember that number, 724-689-0520, and we'd be happy to have you come in.
Dr. Michael's work and his team at Independence Health System recently earned two distinguished three-star ratings from the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, one for patient care and one for lung cancer resection outcomes. Three-star ratings denotes the highest category of quality among the elite for general thoracic surgery in the US and Canada. Congratulations to you and your team, Dr. Zwirk.
And thank you for that, Jen. And again, thank you for everything you do for the community. You were very instrumental in me coming to this part of the country. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done and everything you continue to do to really keep our community vibrant, keep our community healthy and alive, because it's not easy. And you work tirelessly. You have a great family, and I can't thank you enough for everything you do for us.
I can't thank you enough, and that goes all right back at you. A wonderful family, and Western Pennsylvania is blessed to have you. Thank you,
Thank
Dr.
you.
Zwirk, and thank you all for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.